possibly are part of the delay we're suffering now in our anxiety to switch there and show you Senator Kennedy. Now that we've reached this stage of the count, the Republicans leading in two, the Democrats in four, and the semi-final totals 171 to 266 in the House of Representatives. In the Senate, there were 23 Republican holdovers, 43 Democratic holdovers. The Republicans won 13 seats, the Democrats 21. It's all over. The Senate now is 36 Republicans to 64 Democrats. In the races for governors, we had 27 governors running in this election. The balance, as you'll see on your board in just a moment, was with the Democrats, 15 Democrats to 12 Republicans, and nobody left.
Stay tuned to WOOD-TV for more forthcoming bulletins in regard
to their way into this armory, and they are contributing mightily to the applause. Kennedy, with his typical amazing physical ability to bounce back, looks rested. His eyes are a trifle bloodshot, but aside from that, you'd never guess that he'd been through a grueling campaign and had been up most of the night following the election returns. We believe we're going to get a brief formal statement and then possibly answers to questions.
The President-elect of the United States.
She's all right. She's all right, right here. Ladies and gentlemen,
I will ask.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've received the following wire from Vice President Nixon. In that wire, he says, Senator John F. Kennedy, Hyannisport, Massachusetts, I want to repeat through this wire the congratulations and best wishes I extended to you on television last night. I know that you will have united support. Country, Democrats, Independents, Republicans, regardless of how they may have voted, that it is a satisfying moment to me, and I want to express my appreciation to all of them and to Mr. Nixon personally. I particularly want to thank all those who worked so long and so hard in this campaign on our behalf and who were generous to me in my visits throughout the country and who were generous enough to support me in the election on yesterday. To all Americans, I say that the next 4 years are going to be difficult and challenging years for us all. The election may have been a close one, but I think that there is general agreement by all of our citizens that a supreme national effort will be needed in the years ahead to move this country safely through the 1960s. I ask your help in this effort, and I can assure you that every degree of mind and spirit that I possess will be devoted to the long-range interests of the United States and to the cause of freedom around the world. So now my wife and I prepare for a new administration and for a new baby. Thank you.
Some millions of people lost some millions of hours of sleep last night because in California, for several hours, they quit counting ballots when the state and the election were still in doubt. Nixon, along with the rest of the country, was not certain he had lost, so he refused to make a flat concession of defeat until hours later. President Eisenhower wired Kennedy his congratulations, phrased in correct but not very warm phrases, then offered to help work out a changeover between now and Inauguration Day. This period is called the interregnum, a word we'll be hearing often hereafter, and as my nomination for one of the ugliest words in the English language. Kennedy warmly accepted the president's offer of help and said he would appoint somebody to work with the White House. But other than that, he said he would make no appointments until after Thanksgiving, about 2 weeks. Now, a message from Texaco. Here's some election summary boards in NBC's Election Central, which perform with such great speed and accuracy last night, have been kept running continuously since yesterday at noon. And here's how they look now. This is the total popular vote for president. Nixon, 32,309,000. Kennedy, 32,705,000. The closest election of this generation. Here's the rundown on the electoral vote. Nixon, 192, counting seven still undecided. Kennedy, 337. More than enough to win. And the four correspondents in Election Central, who also performed with speed and accuracy last night, also have been running continuously. And we're going to call on each of them now for a backward look at the section of the country he covered to tell us what happened. First, Sander Van Oker in the East.
For Kennedy, the East was solid. 145 electoral votes at stake here. He took 133 of them. They formed the core of his victory. The states here are heavily industrialized, heavily weighted in favor of religious and racial minorities, the groups that Franklin D. Roosevelt built the power of the New Deal upon. No Democratic president since FDR in 1944 has taken New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. But Kennedy took all of them. New York, he took big. New Jersey, he took by a narrow margin, but he took it nevertheless. And the sweetest victory of all, Pennsylvania, where the highly efficient Philadelphia Democratic Organization gave him a record-breaking plurality of 328,000 votes, which he used to fight off Republican votes in the rural areas. The key to the victory here in the East, I believe, can be summed up in two words, voter registration. This was a sleeper in the Kennedy campaign. Robert Kennedy, the senator's brother and campaign manager, pushed this project mightily. In Connecticut, Democrats passed Republicans in voter registration for the first time in history. The same thing was true in Pennsylvania. The Northeast went Republican in the past two presidential elections. And last night, it came back into the Democratic Party. If it had not, John Fitzgerald Kennedy would not be our president-elect this evening. And now for a look at what happened in the southern states. Over to Frank McGee.
Southern Democrats did not rebel against Senator John Kennedy despite his Catholic religion. That influenced some votes, there's no doubt about that, but other factors determined the outcome in the South. The story was most dramatically and most accurately told in South Carolina. This, one of two southern states Republicans felt sure they'd take, stayed Democratic. Economic conditions not good in South Carolina and voting traditions combined to outweigh any fears voters might have had about a Catholic in the White House. Nixon took four states in the South, three less than Eisenhower captured 4 years ago. In each of these, aside from Tennessee, Nixon's margin of victory was lower than Eisenhower's. Now, Mississippi hid its votes behind a slate of unpledged electors. Who they choose now is largely academic. But for several hours last night, it appeared their stratagem, which was to get in position to demand concessions on civil rights, might work. It did not. An ultra-liberal party platform and a Catholic candidate have been accepted by the South. For some thoughts about the Midwest, here's John Chancellor.
If Kennedy won the contest in the East and South, he almost lost it in the Middle West. Of the 13 states here with 161 electoral votes, he took 71. But of these 71, he took 58 of them by tiny margins. He won Michigan by 65,000, Illinois by 11,000, Minnesota by 13,000. He lost the farm states quickly and indisputably with not much evidence of a religious issue. The big city Democratic organizations helped Kennedy a lot in Michigan, which he won, and perhaps not so much in Ohio, which he lost. The massive efforts of the Cook County Democratic machine were nearly overwhelmed by a couple of million downstate Illinois Republicans whose votes seemed to be tallied one by one in the small hours. At one point, Kennedy's lead in Illinois was diminishing by 2,000 votes a minute. But he won the state, and he won Michigan and Minnesota and Missouri, too. Some governorships have changed hands in the Middle West, but all the veteran senatorial voices in the Middle West are heading back to Washington. McNamara, Douglas, Humphrey, Munt, and Kerr. The final score in the Middle West, Nixon took 90 electoral votes, Kennedy took 71. It may not have been vital, but it was awfully exciting. Now for the Western story, here's Merrill Muller.
Nixon showed tremendous strength in the West. He was on his way to duplicating President Eisenhower's sweep when the lines of Nixon's fate finally emerged. Nevada went to Kennedy, but barely, and almost immediately was followed by an early lead in California for Kennedy from San Francisco and from part of Los Angeles that Nixon could never catch. It was more than a growing victory for Kennedy. It was a deep hurt for Nixon that his home state should provide the 32 nuggets of power to take Kennedy over the top in the Electoral College. The forces of Kennedy, Adlai Stevenson, and Catholic Democratic Governor Pat Brown combined finally to sew it up. Alaska and Hawaii were voting for the first time, and everyone thought it was academic. But for several hours early today, one of them, one of those two small states, could have swung open the White House gates. It was that tight a presidential race. This is Merrill Muller in Election Central.
Thank you, gentlemen.